Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with
my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this morning, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to be our guide and to give us the truth, Father, of this your word as we study, and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive so that we can have that understanding, Father, that he gives to us. And may we never forget it. Now help us to walk in accordance with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, it's in his name, that sweet precious name of Jesus, that I ask this. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the 9th chapter here of 1 Corinthians. Now, beginning here with verse 1, says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? 2, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of my apostleship, are ye in the Lord? You know, Paul was asking the question there in the beginning, have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? We know that this actually, and his proclamation of seeing Jesus accentuates his claim in being an apostle. And all the questions in this verse expect a positive answer. You know, we all know from the study of God's word how Paul saw him, what it done to his life. So let me ask you, what has the Lord done to your life and for you? If we all will stop and think, we'll find all of the good things the Lord has done for us and the good things that he's given to us and has allowed us to have. Now, three, my answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? You know, he's asking all these questions because he has been just as Jesus was, really. He's been accused of everything. And they're trying to tear him down also. Now, five, have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? You know, he's speaking here about leading about a sister. And Paul had the prerogative to take a wife and bring her on his journeys with him as other apostles, just as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas. But you know, he didn't do it, but that was because it was his choice. And he was first and foremost for and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was something else that really he had denied himself. And this shows the fallacy of those who promote celibacy among the clergy by citing the example of the apostle. And we do. We've got a lot of them out there. And we got one whole denomination that uses that to keep all of their ministers single. But see, that's not really the truth of things. Paul did this himself because of his work and his own way of doing things, because he had been so bad in the beginning before he met Jesus. He was going into homes and places and bringing both men and women back arrested to be jailed and killed, because that's what was happening to him. But then there was that time that he met Jesus there on the road to Damascus. And this meeting put the Lord first in his life. And I mean first. And he was using him to establish churches and take the gospel to a people that knew nothing about the Lord Jesus or about God himself, the Gentile people, which is you and I. You know, we support Israel, and I had gave one of their rabbis a donation, and he sent me a Jewish Bible. And is there a difference in it? Yes, there is. Now, the one I have is the Jewish Bible that's called the Tree of Life. And I was reading it this morning, because I do read it, and I really enjoy it. And one of these times when the Spirit will lead me, I'd like to share one of our studies with all of you using it. And we'll have to see what the Lord thinks about that. Now, we found out here that just because we have those that uses Paul, because Paul traveled by himself, as far as known, he didn't have a wife. And they try to use that example to keep all of their ministers single. And that should be no reason for that. Paul chose that kind of life because he was just busy, and he was placing the Lord first in his life over actually everything else, really. When you really stop and think about the Apostle Paul and the things that he was doing, the things he went through, we know that the Lord was really first in his life. Now, he goes on here in 6 now. It says, "Are I only and Barabbas? Have not we power to forbear one another?" Yes, they do. 7. "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock?" He's asking these questions, knowing that those that do these things, they are partakers of what they're doing. And this is Paul's way of letting you and I know that we need to be a partaker of what we are doing with and for the Lord. 8. "Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also?" Now, we know from what Paul is telling us that we should be a partaker of the things we teach and of the things that we study about in the Word of God. 9. "For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn." Does God take care of poor options? Yes, he did. And that was in the law of Moses. Now, and you see, when we are teaching the truth of God's word, we are to be partakers of that, because he has not kept any of that from you and I. be or to be partakers of it. Now, 10. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes. For our sakes, no doubt. That's why it's being said. This is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partakers of his hope. We are to be takers also, as well as teachers. Because as we plant this word and sow this word, we have the hope of making heaven our home, and we need takers of what we teach. Now, Levin, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. You know, Paul's talking about the spiritual things that they are given, and he's talking about the carnal things that they could be taking from them. In other words, Paul and Barnabas and those that traveled with him could have been taken from the church their way of living. But we know they didn't. They worked and took care mainly of themselves. Now, there was time that they did take up offerings and things, but they didn't take it up for themselves. They took it up to take back to the church at Jerusalem. They wasn't taking it for themselves at all. But Paul, as their minister and teacher, imparted to them spiritual things. And says, would it then be improper if he should expect remuneration to sustain the body? And the former spiritual refers to things of infinite value, and the latter carnal to things of only temporal value. Now, you see, it wasn't the idea of the things that they would have been taken would be evil. He's calling them carnal because they were just temporal. They were things of this world that the body might need in order to sustain itself and its life. Now, 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait on the altar are partakers with the altar? You see, he let them know that if they was to take from them, it wouldn't be anything wrong with it. But he's letting them know, we don't take it. And they didn't, because they didn't want it to hinder the gospel of Christ among the people. And we hear that even today, a lot about that. A lot of those that are walking outside of the church will make statements of how, no, we're not going to belong to church because all they want is money. They just want our money. And we hear that quite a bit. with a lot of them, that's truth. 14. Even so has the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. They let them know that there is nothing wrong with them taking care of him and those with him. They preach the gospel and they should be able to live by it. But he goes on here in 15. He says, but I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glory void. In other words, to use that against him, to tear him down. Now, 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And we know why that is, don't we? Because when Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he was blind for 3 days, had to be led about. Then one was sent to him to open his eyes. And Jesus called him out of the way he was and made him an apostle for the Gentile people. Paul understood this, and there is a lot of us that had lived so wrongly, doing things that we should not have done, and yet God called us to be his child. Some of us he called to be ministers. Some he called to be teachers. Some he called to be deacons. You know, and we need to walk in whatever calling he has called us for. And we need to live by that. Always putting him in the things of the kingdom first in our lives. That's what Paul did. Right up even to death. He was one that said he was willing to die. And that's exactly what happened. Now, we know he was put to death. Paul died a martyr's death, really. Now, 17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. And it goes on that if he was to do that unwillingly, or against his will, here in 18, he answers that. He says, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. It's not to be abused and set ourselves up to be something we are not, or to use it as though it's coming from ourselves. No. Because you see, it comes by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. In other words, he's letting you and I know that we are not to place ourselves above anyone, that we are talking to and sharing the gospel with. We are to be and talk as though we are all the same, and we all are. Because you see, you may not be a sinner now, but there was a time you were. So you were no better. And may have done things even worse than what they are doing. Now, To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Don't place yourself above mankind, but walk in the Spirit of Almighty God, as he will lead you and do the things that he will ask of you to do. 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. We want those that hear us to become those that will walk with us, share with us, and not many are doing this. They want to place themselves above others. No, we don't do that. God moves us above sometimes, but he's the one that has to elevate us and promote us as we travel through this life and follow his commandments and his word. Point 4. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Paul's laying this out pretty straight, isn't he? Now, 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain. A corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. We do it because we want our crowns to be from God, incorruptible, not the crowns of this world. Because the crowns of this world are corruptible. 26. I therefore shall run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. In other words, Paul is letting us know that he is running this race to be a winner with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's not just beating the air. 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul is not wanting to be a castaway, and he's letting us know that that is possible. He could preach to others and yet himself be a castaway, because he's not doing what he's telling others to do. But you see, that don't last very long. We have a lot of them out there today that are doing exactly that. But they're not teaching others even the truth. They are teaching them things that are contrary to the word of Almighty God. And one day they will be a castaway, and they've caused a lot of others to be the same if they continue down that road. That's why we need to be praying for those that are in our churches and praying for them to lay hold of the truth of God's word, and not things that are hearsay and things that is coming from a denominational tradition, but that what they are receiving is coming from the word of Almighty God and the truth of it. That's what we need to keep them in prayer all about. Now, we've come to the end of chapter 9. And as I was telling you in the beginning, and for those that have come in a little later, or that will download this now, you know, as I was telling you, we give to Israel, which is what we are supposed to do. And we give to them because we do love them. And if it were not for Israel and the Jewish people, we wouldn't have Christianity today. We wouldn't know anything about the Lord our God, because for most of us, and all of us that are not Jewish, our ancestors, really way back, were idol worshipers. We knew nothing about God until the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And mainly, as Paul met Jesus there on the road to Damascus, because he was really the first apostle sent to the Gentile people. And that was exactly what God called him to do. And I had sent to this one rabbi and he sent me a Jewish Bible. I've been asking the Lord about using that Bible. One time, during our Bible study, to let you see the difference in the wording of it. The wording in most of our Bibles today. Now, all right. I pray that we'll all have a great day today. And we can get things accomplished that we need to get accomplished. But also that we can spend more time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you, Father, for this word. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we are thankful for these times that we come together to share in your word and to share our love with each other. That love of Almighty God, Father, that will help sustain us in accordance with your word, your commandments, and what you want of us to do and to accomplish as we walk through this life. Now, Father, we pray for Israel. We pray for peace. But more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. Now, Father, for this land of ours. Father, we know that this land of ours is in a lot of evil. A lot of trouble. And we know it's headed for more trouble, Father. Now, Father, we pray that those in our government that are evil, that's bringing a lot of this evil upon this land and the people, be removed from office and replaced by those that belong to you, that love you, Father, that love the Lord Jesus, love your church and your people, and love this country. And will work with us to put this land in repentance, Father, so it can be healed. And Father, that our government will see the error of its ways and put it back, put our government back on the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And be with us all, Father, through this day. Keep us all in health. Keep us all safe. And bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all. Have a great day. Spend some time now with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him know that you love him, that you want to be with him throughout eternity. And do it from the heart. All right. May the Lord be with you.